listening to A Little Too Quiet, the Ferndale Library podcast, brought to you by the friends of the Ferndale Library. We've got an interview today with journalist and writer Joe Grimm, the author of the Faygo book. Joe Grimm is a lifelong Detroit area resident, a 25-year veteran of the Detroit Free Press, and is a Michigan State University journalism professor. So Joe Grimm, can you tell me about the ways in which I think all of our adoration for this soft drink, Faygo, goes beyond flavor or nostalgia, but also in effect is sort of, I guess, this book that you're talking, that you wrote, is sort of it's about a company's loyalty to the city. Can you talk about that?
Oh, very much so. And I did not know that when I began the book. Very often when a journalist begins a project, they don't know what's going to happen. And I found so many supporting instances of Faygo being loyal to its employees.
Yeah.
Faygo being loyal to its neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Detroiters being loyal to Faygo, that it was just one of the themes that emerged. This is a company that is not well loved because the pop tastes good only, but because they appreciate the company. When everybody else was leaving Detroit, the Lions, the Pistons, Stroll, Verners, Motown, Hudson's, Glassic, when everybody was leaving, Faygo stayed. Detroiters appreciate that.
When I read your book, that's what stuck out to me most of all. I thought I was going to be learning about the magic behind this colorful soda drink, and then I realized, oh my gosh, it's so endearing.
Well, it's kind of a history of Detroit with a spoonful of sugar.
Yeah, so let's talk about what made you want to write this book. You call it a social history, and it's not in chronological order.
No, I didn't want to write a chronological story because, well, chronologies restrict you.
Yeah.
I wanted to tell the story in a way that was loosely chronological, but I wanted to divide it up into topics. And I thought, what better way to divide up a story about a pop company than into a six-pack? And so I wound up with six themes that are followed, but they overlap each other. And I didn't want to jump out of one interesting theme to go catch up on something that was happening someplace else in the same year. So the themes for the chapters were, the first one was about how much we love Faygo.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was one about the ingredients in pop. I thought if we're going to write about pop, we ought to really get into the ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the succession inside a family business, which is difficult very often.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about modernization, that is Detroit, moving from its peak population into modern Detroit, which was a smaller Detroit and in many ways a diminished Detroit. And how did that affect Faygo? We talk about what could be the future. So I wanted to, and I almost forgot probably my favorite section about advertising.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I was out talking today and so many people wanted to say something like, The black Bart, which way did he go? Remember when you were a kid, people were quoting these jingles from years ago and asking me if I knew about them. And of course, I denied knowing about any of them. And then they were in the show.
Oh, that's terrific. Now, do you think that you approached this as maybe, because the way it sounds like you structured it, it almost sounds like you approached it maybe like a big article. There's a headline, and then you had six subheads, and you're just...
Well, funny thing. I talked about doing this book for a long time, and I got stuck because no one at Faygo would really talk to me.
Mm.
And so there I sat, grousing. And finally, I think somebody said, are you ever going to do that? And I thought, well, yeah, maybe I should do that. Somebody will. Maybe I should do it. And then one of my students at Michigan State University introduced me to the person who broke the logjam, Susie Fagenson, granddaughter of one of the founders. Well, now I had what I always needed, which was a source to tell me some of the stories. And then I confronted the thing that a lot of writers confront. Oh, my gosh, I think I'm going to be able to write a book. Well, how will I do that?
Yeah.
And I started to break it down. I had written a book earlier about with Catherine Young, about Coney Islands in Detroit. And I thought, well, it should be a little bit like the Coney book. Lots of fun and color and photographs, good stories. And I thought, how long was that book? And I went and I checked. And I said, well, I think the Faygo book will be a little bit longer. So I came up with a length for the book before I started writing. And then I thought, well, that's a lot to write. And then I thought about it and said, you know, that's not much longer than half a dozen magazine stories.
Yeah.
Well, I could write a magazine story.
Yeah.
So I started writing the six parts that became the Faygo book. And so that's wise of you to notice that sort of sounded like a magazine story, because to me it was like a six-pack of magazine stories in a certain way.
Right. And as a reporter in this area for 25-plus years now, you're writing about Coney and you're writing about Faygo. These are things that are near and dear to Detroiters' hearts. And I think that there are things that remind people why they loved living here.
Oh, I love that people read about Coney's and they read about Faygo and they feel a sense of pride.
Yeah.
And a sense of joy. And I do think these things bring people who've never met together.
What were some of the challenges? Because you have to get a lot of photographs for this book, too.
Oh, my gosh. The photographs were a story in themselves.
I bet. So
I can't get anything from Faygo.
Yeah.
And, okay, well, that's a shame. So what am I going to do? Because for a book like this, I needed well more than 100 pieces of art to make it as colorful as I wanted it to be. So I started, yes, I looked in the usual places, the archives and the institutions around here, the newspapers. I was very fortunate. The Free Press let me use a number of pictures from the Free Press. I have some pictures from the Detroit News as well. I really relied on social media, and I started haunting Flickr and eBay and Pinterest and looking for what kind of pictures were out there. And I started taking a few pictures myself, some street scenes that I needed, and also I took some pictures of, I guess you'd call them artifacts that went into the book, bottle caps, mm-hmm. and glasses, and things like that. And I'll tell you about my biggest find in the book. I was watching eBay to see what would come up. Maybe it's something that I wanted to buy just to take a picture of it. And somebody posted the pencil sketches, the original pencil sketches of what was to have been a Faygo commercial.
That sounds
so
interesting.
I am like, oh my gosh, original artwork of a commercial that was never made. Oh, and it's sitting there on eBay for like a week. And I'm thinking, oh my God, somebody's going to want that. How much will I have to pay? Will it be $100, $150? What will it cost? So I waited until the last day that it would be on eBay. And I put in the minimum bid, $15. And then I made up my top bid. And I made it an odd number, like $121.80. And I watched and I waited, hoping somebody wouldn't crush my top bid. And I got it for $15.
Oh, that's awesome.
And these sketches are straight. The pinholes that held this storyboard on above somebody's desk are in the paper, of course.
Wow.
So I thought, this is a set of sketches for a commercial that not even the people at Faygo have seen.
Wow. That answers my question of whether or not you made some particularly amazing discoveries. That has to be one of them.
Well, some were just kind of fluky. I would find stuff online, and then I would have to track down the photographer and ask for permission. There's a picture in there of a guy with a big red pop bottle tattooed on his left forearm, and he signed it as Slacker, so I had to figure out who was Slacker.
Okay.
And there were pictures of an old Faygo advertising mural on the side of a store taken by a guy who called himself Nailhead, so I had to find Nailhead.
A lot of characters here, Joe.
Oh, yeah. And I tracked down Nailhead and got the story for the picture.
Okay.
And then I had to find, somebody posted a picture of the Michigan State University marching band, which plays the Faygo song at practices, not in the stadium, but, you know, warm-ups and practices. And that was taken by a person who wasn't using her real name either. And I eventually tracked her down to ask permission if I could use her picture.
A lot of code names.
Well, it was kind of challenging.
Yeah.
But I think I got most everything I wanted.
That song, if we're talking about the song that I love so much, is Faygo Remembers. It was a commercial in the 70s. I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, was it filmed on a Bobolo boat? I want to say that it was. Maybe it wasn't, but...
Oh, it was not.
Okay. How great would that have been, though?
It was not. A lot of people see that commercial and they say, oh, the Bobolo boat.
Right.
And, I mean, most people who associate it with any boat say the Bobolo boat.
Right.
And, in fact, for a while on its website, Faygo had a picture of a guy in a red and white striped jacket, or a drawing of a guy, standing on the prow of a boat that said Bobolo.
Oh, doubly
not
confusing.
True. Not true. Yeah. Not on the Bobolo boat.
Well, we have to know, though, Faygo Remembers, and it touches into nostalgia. Do you have any favorite memories from your youth? I think you mentioned your favorite flavor in the book, but, you know, you were growing up here.
I'm a pretty big rock and rye fan.
Uh-huh.
And I think my Faygo memories, I've heard a lot of great stories from people who, you know, had it at their wedding, or who used to have it every Sunday, once a week as a treat, or people who were poor, and that's the only treat they could afford.
Mm-hmm.
Or people who made their own concoctions. But what I really remembered about Faygo was some of those commercials.
Yeah.
So that's why I had to have an advertising section.
Yeah. Now, do you think if Faygo has proven, if nothing else, a memorable brand and longevity, do you think that they've provided maybe a blueprint other local businesses could follow now?
Well, times have changed.
That's
times
true.
Have changed a lot. And the pop business is one of those that's being challenged.
Mm-hmm.
There has been a lot of consolidation in the pop business. We have very, very few pop companies. Pepsi and Coke seem to own just about everything.
Mm.
So that's one way that when Faygo was in Detroit in the mid-30s, it was in an area called Pop Alley that had so many bottlers of pop and beer, the neighborhood was known for pop companies. And Faygo was the last one standing. And, of course, the other problem they have to deal with is consumer tastes have changed. And in fact, sugar and sweeteners in general have been demonized as really bad for your health. And so you've got opponents who say, well, I'm not drinking any sugar. You've got people who say, we're going to tax it like crazy. So you've got all kinds of organized opposition to the product that is Faygo. And you've got this business situation where you've got some really Goliath companies out there that you have to compete with. So
it's got to be rewarding.
I would say the things that worked in the past might not work now. You need new solutions.
If nothing else, it's still got to be rewarding now that this book has been out, just to interact with people and just to hear these stories. Because even if
I love that part.
Yeah.
Sometimes people bring old Faygo bottles to the talk.
Oh, that's great.
The lyrics to the commercials. Sometimes they'll wear a Faygo shirt. It's kind of funny.
That's great. Joe Grimm, the author of the Faygo book, thank you so much for chatting with us today.
Well, thank you. It's been a real pleasure.
We were going to link to where you can find this book online in the show notes. Thanks again, Joe.
Thank you. And we are going to rock and ride.
And that was our chat with Joe Grimm, who wrote the Faygo book, a social history of a company that has forged a bond with a city and its residents for more than a century. Talking about this book, which came out on Wayne State University Press, wsupress.wayne.edu. We had a great chat about a lot of the nostalgia that is stirred up by this company and their loyalty to the Detroit area. You are, of course, listening to A Little Too Quiet, the Ferndale Library podcast, brought to you by the Friends of the Ferndale Library. Find info about that great group that supports this podcast by going to ferndalefriends.org. The music you're listening to, as always, is by John Duffy. Kelly Bennett has been here producing with me, Jeff Milo, and we thank you so much for listening.